Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to another thrill-packed and exciting episode of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome, everybody. This is Brian Myers, and Shane Vanderhart is on vacation. And I don't know what gave him the right to do that, but anyway... So we're flying this illustrious aircraft today with me at the controls, and that's a kind of a scary thought. But not to worry, we have our trusty engineer over here and producer, Ron Carlson. He's going to keep everything in line. And we are privileged to also have a special guest with us here in the studio. In studio, we have Jennifer Bowen, Executive Director of Iowa Right to Life. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, Jennifer, let's get right into it. We've had, obviously, a lot of news the last couple of weeks on Planned Parenthood.
Yes, we have. And none of it has been fun to watch.
No, it hasn't. And beyond just the fact that these videos have been stunning, for me personally, I'm getting the impression as I see things on the news and I read posts on the internet that this is definitely having an impact on people. Certainly, there's a new conversation about who Planned Parenthood is and what it is that they do. It's like somebody's kind of drawn the curtain back and allowed the general public to have a look inside, and it's not a pretty picture.
Exactly. Not a pretty picture into what they're doing and have been doing, and also the glibness with which the managers are doing so. I mean, they're proud of the work that they're doing. They're proud of not just abortions. Now we know further proof that they are also harvesting those unborn baby parts. And they're almost, in some of the two videos that have been released, and 10 more are coming, they say.
10 more?
10 more are coming.
Wow.
They plan to release one every week for 12 weeks. And so, as somebody told me last night, you know, if those were the first two, what's coming? I mean, those are just horrific. And so you think about a 30-month investigation, and these individuals were inside of that organization. They were friends with, or seemed to be friends,
right,
with the managers and the affiliates and whatnot. And so it's going to be amazing to see what's coming. And it's interesting to note, too, that this is something that in the pro-life community I've been asked if this was a surprise. And to me, frankly, it wasn't a surprise. We've known from at least the 1990s that they were doing this. They were shipping baby parts around the country at that time via FedEx and et cetera. And, but we never had them on record. You know, we knew right that they were doing it, but we never had them on video talking about it, talking about the process, talking about the Lamborghinis that they want to buy, talking about making abortion, choosing sometimes more dangerous abortion procedures for women so that they can preserve the baby's parts intact. Yeah. So yes, it's exactly what you said. It's sort of like they've drawn back the curtain and shown not just that abortion is ugly, but everything around it. If you're willing to kill an unborn baby and you're willing to lie to their mother to do so, then what else are you capable of? And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks on full display.
Yeah, and you mentioned here a few moments ago the glibness. Shane and I talked about that last week. I mean, it was just stunning because, you know, we're having this nice glass of wine and this, you know, we're eating salad and you can hear the plates and the glasses kind of tinkling in the background. And it's also cavalier.
Yes.
I mean, you use the word glib, and that's really true. For them, it's as if they were just talking about the most mundane and inanimate object you know, like they were a manufacturer of widgets or whatever.
Exactly. I mean,
it just seemed completely horrifying, frankly. And I'm hoping that, again, the general public is going to get that same impression.
And I'm hopeful for that, too. I think one of the most not surprising but incredibly frustrating pieces is, you know, what we call the mainstream media, both nationally and locally, even. Just absolutely refusing to cover this because they keep punting it back to Planned Parenthood, saying, oh, you know, they told us they don't do this, so of course we should trust them. Or they couldn't, you know, this has been edited, you know.
It's heavily edited, yeah.
Which every time they plan to do what they've done the last 2 weeks, which is release the edited version, which, I mean, the first version, it was a 3-hour lunch. So nobody wants to watch a 3-hour lunch of that. So they had, you know, they edited it down to 8 minutes. And they also, they put out the full video footage, if you want to watch the raw footage. And they also put out a typed transcript. The first one was 60 pages long, front and back. I printed it off, and it's just been a horrifying read. But all that said, you still cannot, no matter how you splice and dice the video, you cannot make the doctors say what they're saying.
That's
right.
You
just cannot edit it that much where you're putting words in their mouth. Those are the words that are coming out of their mouth.
Yeah, some of this has been, I mean, it would be amusing if the whole thing wasn't so horrifying, but some of this really has been really bizarre, where we've got the New York Times and Nancy Pelosi seeming to take the position that Planned Parenthood got victimized here by these bad people that snuck in there with their secret recording equipment and their heavy editing.
Exactly. And these well-funded anti-abortion groups. And I can say, you know, with some knowledge, well-funded is not necessarily the nonprofit groups that are fighting for life. The well-funded group is the one that receives over $560 million of our taxpayer funding every single year.
That's right.
And that's the well-funded group. And to cast them as, and frankly, I think that the media really does think that that they are the victim here, and there are Democrats in Congress that have opened up an investigation against that Center for Medical Progress because, you know, poor Planned Parenthood. Well, poor Planned Parenthood, number one, isn't poor. And number two, they are not only
they're not
ending
victims.
The lives of unborn children. They are profiting heavily off of trafficked baby parts.
That's right. That's right. So it's even more horrific than we thought. And meanwhile, financially, they're doing just fine.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I don't know if you remember this or not. A couple of years ago, I think Ezra Klein came out with this pie chart that in order to illustrate who Planned Parenthood really was, and his point was to illustrate the idea that this is this wonderful organization that serves the public in all these different facets, and of course abortion was only a small part of that. But I remember I think these numbers are from 2011. At that time, 38% of Planned Parenthood's revenues were from abortion services, 38%. So that's a big chunk of their business model. But here, these last two numbers were the ones that were really spooky. If you were pregnant and you walked in the door of one of their facilities, there was a 96.5% chance you were not going to walk out of that place still with child. 96.5% of pregnant women received abortions. The total number of abortions performed in 2011 was 329,000, which, if I understand it correctly, that is the largest provider of abortions on the planet.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And that's in keeping with, I can think of countless women that we've talked to over the years and read stories of. That's in keeping with any college student or teenager that walks in and wants to talk about their options. And, you know, former Planned Parenthood managers, Sue Thayer, Abby Johnson, and others will tell you they're very, very well trained to kind of like a telemarketing salesperson, where they will walk them. You may walk in thinking, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my baby. and they will find those weaknesses in you and they will exploit them. And because there's no money to be made for Planned Parenthood if you keep your baby. There's no money to be made for them if you adopt your baby out. And we knew that when we were just talking about the abortion side of things and right. how much money they were making off
and
of
abortions. And that was before this all came
and
up.
And that was before you're talking about, you know, selling baby parts for whatever the going rate is. And so it's a huge moneymaker for them. So I'm sure they look at that and think, well, we failed because 4% of women walked out this year and
so their
babies,
failed in their mission.
They failed in their mission.
Oh boy. That's mm-hmm. just classic. Now I would agree that it would seem reasonable that if abortion was not the end game, in their presentation to these women when they come to the clinic, that surely that number would be smaller. In other words, excuse me, if they were really, really looking at all options available to that young pregnant woman, that surely there wouldn't be 96.5% of them receiving abortions.
Without a doubt. I know that I can look back and think about, if not every single post-abortive woman that I've ever talked with, every single time I started to recognize a pattern a few years ago that every time they shared their story with me, they would say, you know, I was pregnant. I was scared. I was 19. I was a college student, whatever the story is. But I knew I could have the baby. I knew it was going to be hard, but I knew I could do it until right. mom, dad, boyfriend, husband, friends, whoever talked them out of it. Every single woman had that fear, but they recognized they were a mom and they were going to do it and they were talked out of it.
Somebody intervened in the thought process and said, well, it would really, yep. you really need to do the right thing. You
exactly.
need to terminate the pregnancy.
This is going to ruin your life or it's going to be hard. And when you take away that, you know, we talk about, I think it's 60%+ of women are coerced into abortions. But there's also that gentle coercion. And if you know that your family and your friends and your boyfriend or your husband aren't going to be there for you, it gets a
right.
whole lot harder.
Right, right. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And in studio here, we have special guest, Jennifer Bowen, Executive Director of Iowa Right to Life. Jennifer, I want to read just a paragraph or two from a piece that was written by Charles Krauthammer. I don't know if you've read that or not, but it's creating a bit of a stir. He says this, "These revelations will have an effect on public perceptions, just as ultrasound altered feelings about abortion by showing the image, the movement, the vibrant livingness of the developing infant in utero. So too, I suspect, will these Planned Parenthood revelations, by throwing open the door to the back room," this is what we were talking about a moment ago, "by throwing open the door to the back room of the clinic where that is being destroyed. The advent of ultrasound has coincided with a remarkable phenomenon. Of all the major social issues, abortion is the only one that has not moved forward towards increasing liberalization. While the legalization of drugs, the redefinition of marriage, and other assertions of individual autonomy have advanced, some with astonishing rapidity, abortion attitudes have remained largely static." I think he's really put his finger on something there. The ultrasound has really been, and I think we've talked about that before, what a tool that's been. And he recognizes that. And it is helping shape the thoughts of these young pregnant women with respect to what they need to do. You know, instead of just automatically making the assumption that they need to have an abortion, now they're having seen this ultrasound, they're looking at keeping that child and moving forward with the pregnancy. And so Krauthammer is rightly pointing out that this latest revelation of the selling of the baby's body parts could also have that same kind of effect. What are your thoughts there?
I think I would never disagree with Krauthammer anyway, but he's absolutely right in that, you know, I mean, that was one of the reasons we were so excited to see ultrasound legislation pass here in Iowa this past legislative session, because we knew statistically when women are given the opportunity to see their baby, between 65 and 75% of women choose life. When men see the ultrasound of their baby, it's as high as into the 90 percentile, where they choose life when they see the image of their baby on the screen. And we know, not, you know, Planned Parenthood has said, oh, why would we put them through those horrible, painful, you right. know, knowing full well that they were doing the ultrasounds. And this last couple of videos have proven yet again that they are doing the ultrasounds, and they're doing those ultrasounds to size the baby so they know how much to charge. And they're doing those ultrasounds so they know how to keep parts intact so that they can make, so they can sell those later on.
Boy.
So I think he's, and then wrapping that into what he's also hit on with the societal direction not moving that way. You've got millennials who are, by and large, we might be losing them on other issues, but we're not losing them on this issue because it's a social justice issue, because they did grow up with ultrasound technology pretty much all around them, and they're seeing it play out, and they're also recognizing that a third of their generation is gone, and they're seeing the implications of that economically and, you know, in every other direction. And so they are adamant that they're going, if it's not done before, that they will be the generation that ends abortion.
And meanwhile, we've got Cecile Richards, who made those comments a couple of years ago, that I interpret that she believes that life begins when a woman says it does, period.
Correct.
And I personally think that to her, if she could, she would make that a full postpartum infanticide.
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart from what I've read.
From what you've read, and there are Planned Parenthood of employees that have gone on the record saying that post-birth abortion should be okay. And what kind of society does that?
Exactly. Well, Jen, thanks for coming aboard here with us at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. When we come back, we'll have Chris Roloff in the studio here with us. Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Chris Roloff, sitting in for Shane Vanderhart.
And you and I both, Brian, we're air drummers, both of us. And I was trying to figure out in that track, you start talking right after the drums kind of kick in. I can't tell if that's a shaker going on in the back. There's a nice, or is that just kind of, what is going on? The hi-hat sound, you know what I'm talking about in that track?
You'd think I would know it by now.
But, you know, don't notice it because you guys start talking, and I was trying to think. You know what I'm talking about, Ron? It almost sounds like the hi-hat sound kind of has that ch-ch-ch-ch. It's a very nice hi-hat sound.
How did we get off on this? That quickly, we are down a rabbit trail.
It is air.
you're a former percussionist, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I aspire. In fact, I was just telling Ron Carlson the other day that it is my plan for my midlife crisis is to begin buying a drum set. And I think I'm going to buy it piece by piece. And I thought I was going to buy a bass drum first. And Ron said, no, you're going too far. You just buy the kick pedal. Just buy the pedal first. Start
you
there.
Buy a set of sticks first.
Yeah, I have one. In all seriousness, I have one drumstick.
Buys one stick. Then he buys another stick. Then he buys the pedal. This is good.
Yeah. That's incrementalism.
By the time you retire, you might actually have the set actually put together.
Well, but it'll be a nice set. See, because I'll buy a nice pair of sticks. I'll buy a nice pedal. The whole thing.
All right. Well, I got to pay a bill here. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance you need.
Wow, that was done really well. Thank you. I felt like I should have jumped into that too. You know, full disclosure here, Travis gets results from this stuff, man. He gets advertising on radio, so advertising on radio works. Travis let me know that he got some results, and we just got another one of our advertisers on 99.3 as a whole. We just discovered I got some results. Believe it or not,
this works.
People listen to this stuff.
No, it's kind of cool. One of my friends mentioned to me, I was talking to him last month. He and I were talking, and I had said something to him about insurance, and he said, "Oh," he says, "Modern Woodman."
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. The guy's listening to the show.
That's right.
Remember the name of the insurance carrier. That's
when you
great.
Think Brian Myers, you think Modern Woodman. Oh, wait, maybe not.
Something like that. Okay. Anyway, Chris.
Sure.
You were kind enough to come on the show, and you're going to do the last three segments of the show with us today.
It's going to be a blast.
It will be. We're going to, I don't know if we'll get anything accomplished, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, that's true.
But I asked Chris, what would he like to talk about in the second segment? And he thought about it for a little bit and got back to me, and he said, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about Psalm 2 relative to things like persecution and the responsibilities of the believer or options for the believer when persecution comes.
Yeah, it was actually this morning. That was what I read this morning. I don't know how many of us use Bible reading plans. One of the things I don't like about the through the Bible reading plan is that when you get to Psalms, you read like five or six or seven Psalms in a row because you're just trying to truck through the Bible. And that always frustrates me because I feel like a psalm is something it's poetry, right? It's a song. It's got some depth to it. It's got some meat. So I tend to meditate slower on psalms. So I've slowed down in my psalm reading. So I'm on Psalm 2. I started reading Psalm 1 in January of 2015, and now I'm finally at Psalm 2. That's a
Seriously?
Joke. That's a joke. It was a lame joke.
Yeah, but just for a moment, you had me, buddy.
Well, that's what I try to be good at, is trying to have people. But so I was reading Psalm 2 this morning, and for those listening and they don't have a Bible in front of them, let me read it to you. This is the Revised Standard Version, so this might be different than what you have. And I won't read the whole thing. It's not that it's long necessarily, but I'll just stop when it seems appropriate. So this is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord has taken them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in fury, saying, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.'" I'll stop there. Some of those verses, depending on the translations you're used to, probably, Brian, sound pretty familiar.
They do.
Yeah. Some of that stuff we tend to believe. That speak directly of Jesus, right? Some of this stuff, in fact, Psalm 2, verse 7, "You are my son, today I've begotten you."
Little doubt what that refers to.
Right, right. That's very messianic, as it were. So if someone says, "Roloff, you just read that. What in the world does that have to do with persecution?" It sounds a lot more like God laughs at the kings of the earth who rage against his people, and he sits on his throne, and he is high and lifted up, and he is the mighty king, ruler of all things. So what does this have to do with persecution? Well, I think it made me think of persecution because if we are on Facebook or social media or follow news or listen to radio stations like 99.3, programs like Caffeinated Thoughts, you'd think the world was coming to an end. not that we're prophesying that the world's coming to an end, but you would feel that way, right?
Are we that negative?
No, you're...
Do you go into bouts of melancholy when you listen to the show?
No. I say that to say it's simply because we're reporting on those things that are going on that are of interest to believers, and a lot
and
of
sometimes they're not very pleasant.
And sometimes they're not very pleasant. And I think in the last several weeks, especially this summer has been, and I think the summer of 2015 will be a memorable summer for Christians in our history, because a lot has changed. And I think specifically of a lot of different things. We have the Supreme Court of the United States. They issued their decree saying that which is evil is good. Most of the country, for the first time, no longer has to wrestle with whether or not evil is evil. Now they just know evil is good. The Supreme Court of the United States has made that very clear and easy for us. Our consciences are clear as a people. But, you know, obviously I'm speaking about the
same-sex marriage.
Yeah, I was going to say legalization. That's not true. I always hear the pundits say, well, it's not really legal. They just said that, you know, whatever. But anyway, so the homosexual marriage issue, as it were. And what made me think about this is, here in Iowa, homosexual marriage has been legal for 5 years. And we still deal with ongoing threats of businesses being shut down, businesses being that kind of stuff. But in a lot of the country, especially in states like Texas, that hasn't been going on yet. What happened with the Supreme Court of the United States made that issue a real issue for a Texan for the first time. You know, a pastor in Texas now for the first time has to deal with the possibility of being forced to perform a homosexual wedding. They didn't before. It was all rhetoric before, right? In Iowa, we've had to deal with that for 5 years. And I'm not saying that that's persecution. That's not what I'm not saying that the Supreme Court of the United States saying that homosexual marriage is great is persecution of Christians. I don't think that it is. But Psalm 2 verse 1 says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. There is the persecution stuff. That's when nations come against believers and they say, we want to get rid of you. Right? Palestinians saying to Israel, we won't be satisfied until the last Jew falls into the ocean. Right? That's not persecution. That's eradication. Eradication. That's a
destruction.
Word? Destruction. And we're a long, long way from that in the United States. Would you agree?
No, that's true. And you've raised a good point. There's persecution, and then there's persecution. Okay. I mean, right. there's persecution of a very minimal sort, and there are folks here in the United States that have experienced that. Some more than others.
Right.
I don't want to make it sound like the folks over at the Gertz house did not experience persecution, because they did.
Oh, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But by the same token, it's not the same kind of persecution as we see, for instance, for Christians in the Middle East.
Right.
You know, who are having unspeakable things done to them by ISIS and so on and so forth.
Right.
So there's a scale.
Right. There absolutely is. I agree with you 100%. But I think for the first time this summer, a lot of Christians in the United States are thinking about the reality of persecution being something that they have to deal with in the United States, which is something we gleefully thought would never really happen.
Right.
I think we're discovering now that the veil is being lifted. The notion that, and I'm going to get some flack for this, the notion that the United States is a Christian nation, that veil has been lifted. We now see the reality is the United States of America is a secular entity run by the collective mass of the people in the United States. It has no religious affiliation in the United States. In fact, that's the idea. That's the beauty of the United States, is that there is, in fact, separation of the government itself and religion, that all religions are free and that all expressions of religion are free in the United States, and that government will be separated from that. Not that believers and Christian folks can't be participate, or religious people can participate in government, of course, but the government itself is not an arm of a single religion, which is different than how it was in England when America was created.
Well, so that's true.
That's kind of a rabbit hole, and I hate
and there's a lot more that needs to be said about that too, because at the time you had the federal government, and then you also had the establishment of Christianity in the several states. So,
right.
I mean, it was a different kettle of fish at the time.
It was, yeah.
But having said that, I am wholeheartedly in agreement with what I think you're trying to say, which is there is an absence of that Christian culture.
Right.
And any formal notion of Christianity being right. associated with our country, those things are long gone.
Absolutely.
If they were ever there, you know, present in a big time way, and I think they were at one time, it's gone now.
Well, and that's the thing. Now, obviously, we're not talking about persecution, but if the United States of America, if the majority culture in the United States of America is no longer evangelical Christian, which I would assert is not the case, the majority of American culture is not evangelical Christian. The question then is, what do the Christians in this country need to do to prepare to be the minority? We haven't been the minority in the past. In the recent history of the United States, we were not the minority, if we were ever the minority, which we probably were not. So what's it going to be like to be the minority group in the United States? And maybe the question needs to be asked to a friend of ours who might be African American, or someone who has experienced being a minority. The evangelical Christian is going to become a minority in the future. What is it like? I don't know what it's like to be a minority. Do you?
Well, not in that sense.
Right.
But I think we've been moving in the direction that you're referring to. I mean, as in terms of evangelical Christianity, I think we've been moving in that direction for quite a while.
Right.
And so I think what we're seeing in the Supreme Court rulings and so on and so forth, I think we're seeing really a codifying, if you will, of a lot of what was present already in the thinking of the culture.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. And so the question has to be, what is an appropriate way to respond? You brought some articles here, some information. There are some Christians in the United States who want to leave, who would like to evacuate
right.
the United States and actually make an exodus, as it were. You had an article here that historically that Christians did leave Jerusalem. Some Christians did leave Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple to a place called Pella when they evacuated then. Is that a good approach?
Well, I don't know. You've raised a huge question. We're just about out of time. But it is interesting. You see, on the one hand, you see folks like Tom Woods and Michael Ferris arguing for a convention of the states to try to turn this all around. I got that completely wrong. We got Michael Ferris and Mark Levin arguing that for a convention of the states and wanting to turn this whole thing around at the federal level. Guys like Tom Woods are saying, no, we need to do this on a state-by-state basis. So the Christian Exodus movement, such as it is, was talking about essentially taking over communities and maybe even taking over an entire state someplace. With or without secession, it still may be useful for Christians to have a majority of the populace. So anyway.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting thought. I think as we read Psalm 2 this weekend, if you could, and think about it, because the encouragement that I would give you before we leave is that Jesus is King. Amen.
Amen to that. We'll be back, folks. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Scott Owen, offering biblical counseling and conciliation. Call him at 515-292-7141 or log on to his website at www.crosswalkcounseling.org. This is Brian Myers and Chris Roloff sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. And this is typically our news segment, otherwise fondly known as News You Can Use. But before we get into that, we were talking in the last hour, excuse me, the last segment about Christians and persecution in our present day. And Chris and I thought it'd be good if we talked about that just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mentioned in the break that, you know, in the United States of America, we are not, Christians are not experiencing persecution. We like to think that we are, but we're really not. Now, we are not the majority, and we are feeling the effects of not being the majority. And I said, I think, in the last segment that we need to take a minute. If you are listening and you yourself are an ethnic minority, you might have some experience as to what it feels like to be a little bit outcast, a little bit shunned. Brian and I and our producer Ron and Shane Vanderhart, we're all white dudes. And white dudes don't really know. That's true. And white dudes really don't know what it's like to really be persecuted in the United States. We don't know what it's like to be the minority. And for white dudes that are evangelicals, we're getting ready to experience it. But here's the thing. As we begin to feel the coming persecution, as we begin to feel the tinges of the coming persecution, I think we're handling it absolutely wrong. And what's really interesting, if you would allow me to pontificate just a little bit more, Brian, and this is Psalm 1 kind of gives us a bit of an answer. Psalm 1 said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." I don't know when last time you looked up the word scoffer was, but I did recently because of Psalm 1. As I talked about, I read Psalm 1 and this morning.
Meditated on
it for a while. And I read Psalm 2 this morning. If you're on Facebook, you see scoffing all the time. Those memes of Hillary Clinton and the nasty jokes that they're about Hillary Clinton or President Obama or whatever, and insert this, or Sarah Palin or whatever it is. That's mocking or scoffing of people. And Christians that participate in that stuff are not being righteous. And that is the wrong way. That's the wrong way, in my opinion, to handle what is the persecution. We ought not mock the wicked who mocks us. The wicked's going to mock you, Brian. The wicked are going to mock you. The wicked are going to mock me. They're going to mock Ron. They're going to scoff at us. We can't participate in that. And I think as we begin to feel some persecution, that's our natural tendency. That's the flesh. You and I are Calvinists. You and I are those kooky reform guys. And we actually believe that the Bible teaches that people are not fundamentally good, that people are actually fundamentally bad, and that inside Brian Myers is an evil, wicked, wretched sinner, and inside Chris Roloff is an evil, rotten, wretched sinner.
I'm really glad that you made this, you know, a corporate kind of a discussion in that regard.
Yeah, no, I didn't want you to be the only one. Ron, on the other hand,
I was starting to feel kind of bad there.
But I think for those of us who know that that's true, we understand that inside of us is the desire to do that which is wrong. And we have to prepare now to not fight back when we're persecuted. Because we're not persecuted right now, but we're made fun of, we're criticized, we're critiqued. A friend of mine.
Now, hang on here. I'm with you on the scoffing and the mocking. I think there's plenty of compelling reasons why we shouldn't engage in that. But I would want you to let me say this a different way. Qualify what you mean then when you say not fight back. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, how do we fight back? We have to believe that we stand victorious. I think that Christians...
We know who wins at the end.
Right. I think Christians, you know, if there's a confidence that a person has... Look, if I was really good at running track, which I'm not, but if I was really good at running track, I was a good runner, I could run long distance, I could run speed, which is pretty rare if you could do both. But let's say I could just do both, and I'm a good runner, and someone comes up to me and they want to race me. I'm verbose at the least. Our producer gave us the 5-minute warning, and I went, man, I just need to shut up. But anyway, the point is...
And you thought you were going to get a news segment, didn't you, audience?
Poor listener. You're just listening to Roloff rant. Everybody's turning this. I listen to Caffeinated Thoughts. I don't like this Roloff kid. But anyway, the point is someone who's good at running.
Maybe that'll increase ratings.
If they're challenged to a race, how are they going to respond? If you're going to run a race and you're a really good runner and you're challenged to a race, how do you respond? You run the best you can. You do well. You're not worried about it. You're not afraid. I think the reason that Christians fight back when they're persecuted. And what I mean by that is when you're mocked and scorned and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying not be involved in the political process. I'm not saying that kind of stuff. But I mean, when you're personally attacked, if you do not understand that you are a son of the risen King, that you are united to Christ, that you're seated in the heavenly places, and that you stand at a place of absolute and total 100% victory, if you don't believe that, you're going to retaliate like someone who's already lost. But have confidence in Jesus Christ and don't fight back. We don't need to. Now, we can advance what we think is morally appropriate in the country. We can vote how we want to vote. We can get involved in the political process. But when people make fun of us, my goodness, man, what do they got on us? They got nothing. But anyway, so that would be my encouragement is to stand firm in the cross of Jesus Christ and know that you're more than a conqueror in Him.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's easy to lose sight of the fact that this victory is already won.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're spot on there, Chris.
It is.
No question about it.
And I feel it all the time. This stuff with Planned Parenthood, you talked with Jennifer Bowen about it a couple segments back, just absolutely atrocious. Planned Parenthood is an awful organization, and we should defund it. But anyway, that's neither here. I hear there's a guy who has a really bad comb over right now running for office.
I wonder who that could be.
I wonder if that is, in fact, the Donald.
All right. We've got just a few minutes left in our alleged news segment here, so we'll talk a little bit about the Donald. Okay. This is from CNN. Republicans dreaming of shooing away Donald Trump may want to think twice. By publicly rebuking the billionaire businessman for his inflammatory comments, the party may convince Trump to launch a third-party candidacy. That is a potential nightmare scenario for the GOP establishment. A populist outsider with unlimited resources attacking their nominee from the right in the general election and attracting votes with his rhetoric on issues like illegal immigration. Now, I admit that if he did decide to go third party, it would certainly do no good for the GOP. But no. I got to tell you, I am not jumping on this bandwagon that says Donald Trump is going to continue to rise in the polls and he's going to be this force that Ross Perot was back in 1992. I simply don't believe that, and I think that you're going to see his poll numbers continue to drop. As a matter of fact, according to the CBS News in Miami, there was a poll taken, by Public Policy, in which his double-digit lead amongst GOP candidates had dropped down to 2 points. Mm. And this is, so far as I know, this is the only poll that's come out after he said some of the stupid things that he said and after he gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number.
That's right.
So, I give this guy another week or two and look at the polls again before we all assume that somehow or other his absurd remarks are helping him, because I'm just not ready to buy that.
Yeah. I would agree with you, too. Our good friend Tom Coates was on the live broadcast with you guys this a week ago now.
By the way, that was awesome.
Oh, it was a great time, wasn't it?
I enjoyed that immensely.
It was a good time. And this article here was Tom Coates' absolute fear, because he remembers the effect that Ross Perot had when we, right, as a country, elected Bill Clinton. And he kind of blames...
I wouldn't give you 2 cents for this job. But if you will get my name on the ballot in all 50 states, I will be your president.
That was beautiful. That your ears got bigger. Like I could see them puff out the second you did that. Boot, you had these big giant ears on the side of your head. It was beautiful.
I can't do it as well as Dana Carvey, but oh, those were good times.
Oh, absolutely they were. But here's the thing is, I don't think, to your point, Ross Perot was a gaffe. He was a goof. Donald Trump's a gaffe and a goof too, but that's all it took to mess things up, and that's scary.
Could be. Well, I trust that won't happen. Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we will be right back.
Your friend just had a huge fight with her husband. She is frustrated and can only think about how bad the conflict is and will become. How can you help? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Our first reaction to a friend like this is to listen. This works initially, but in the long run, we tend to only be encouraging negative thinking and gossip. You're not a marriage counselor, but what can you do? One thing you can do is help her adjust the direction of her thinking. Right now, she only sees the bad that conflict promises, but she might benefit from seeing three good things that conflict offers a Christian. I use the Peacemaker's Principle pamphlet by Peacemaker Ministries to show that conflict is an opportunity to do the following: glorify God, help you become more like Christ, and to test your unconditional love and service. If you would like more materials on how to help a friend, stop by our counseling center in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Chris Roloff sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. Whether you're an avid hunter, experienced marksman, or just looking to enjoy a fun day on the range, you will find a lot to love at Crossroads Shooting Sports in Johnston, Central Iowa's only indoor gun range. Check them out at crossroadsshooting.com or visit them at 5550 Johnston Drive in Johnston. And they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 1 to 5.
Crossroadsshooting.com, and I will say this, absolutely, as someone who's been in there, I don't own a gun.
What's wrong with you, boy?
But as a non-gun-owning citizen of the United States of America, I will say, and typically non-gun owners don't like shooting ranges because they feel like shooting ranges.
Go figure.
Go figure. Crossroads Shooting Shooting Sports is very nice inside. They got a pro shop in there. It's very family friendly. I was really comfortable. I actually thought about actually shooting. It sounded like a good time, and normally that doesn't sound good. No, it's a good environment over there.
Definitely a great facility, and good people too. I haven't met the owner, but
good.
Heard him on the show. I heard. Heard good things about this guy. All right, and now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
Okay, this is from Winter Haven, Florida. July 22nd, according to UPI. Police are working to identify a Florida man who apparently knocked himself out for a few seconds by headbutting a bus out of anger over a $2 fare. The Winter Haven Police Department, which posted video of the incident to its Facebook page, said the man got off the bus about 11:35 a.m. Saturday when it arrived at its stop. Police said the man told the driver he wanted to go to another location, and he became extremely agitated when the driver told him it would be an additional $2 fare to travel to the other location. The driver locked the bus and went inside to the enclosed part of the bus terminal, leaving the passenger sitting alone on a bench. The man walked away but returned to the still-locked bus 4 minutes later, and the video shows the man getting a running start.
Oh, wow.
Before headbutting the door of the bus.
Oh, wow.
Shattering a glass window.
Oh, my.
The man falls to the ground and appears to be knocked out for a few seconds before collecting himself and running away.
I can just see that sort of with the Fred Flintstone feet. Boom! And then smack right into it. Oh, man.
I saw this thing on TV or on YouTube or something. It was just priceless. It's like, what are you thinking, buddy? Actually, when you look at the video, you're kind of like, I'm surprised this guy's not in the hospital with a concussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, he made quite the impact. I mean, had he... Well,
impact? Right. Oh, boy. No pun intended,
No
right?
pun intended. But, I mean, to break the glass, that's got to be a pretty hard hit.
Okay, send your you can't make this stuff... you can't make this stuff up ideas to story at caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story at caffeinatedthoughts.com. And we will give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show. Well, Mr. Roloff, thank you very much for being on the show with us today and taking the captain's chair away from Brother Vanderhart.
Well, it was hard shoes to fill.
Well, you're going to find out just how hard, because I think you're going to be on next week, too.
Yikes! Maybe we'll be less ranty and a little bit more focused next time.
Well, I don't know. I think the rant was kind of entertaining.
Well, thanks.
Isn't that what Ron refers to as good radio?
There you go. Ron told us we did good, so
it must be good.
It must be good.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Who knows what the upcoming week will bring in terms of news developments and so on and so forth. So who knows what we're going to talk about? But yeah, I think Shane's still out of pocket. So
is he just taking over the world? Is he having a one-on-one with the president right now?
No, he's on vacation somewhere. I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, he's having fun.
He's having fun.
Oh, okay.
Now, next week, I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, folks. We will see you next week.
Whether you're an avid hunter, experienced marksman, or just looking to enjoy a fun day on the range, you'll find a lot to love at Crossroads Shooting Sports in Johnston. With 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance, a pro shop featuring men and women's apparel, and basic and advanced firearm training. Find directions and hours of operation online at crossroadsshooting.com. Crossroads Shooting Sports in Johnston. Central Iowa's only indoor gun range. Crossroadsshooting.com. Crossroadsshooting.com.